Hello, and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat. I am one of your hosts, Zach Owens, and joining me as always is Aaron Capo.
Hello!
So, we got a little bit of news to get through, but I'm a little bit excited to talk Apex Legends, because we've been getting into that recently. I don't know if you've had any more chance to play Super Mario Bros. Wonder at all.
You know, I haven't really. I'm still in that kind of period where my girlfriend is busy most nights because of her job, and I'm really only playing with her. So we did play a little bit more. We got to, I think, the fourth world, and we did get to the drill hat Mario, which is cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably only halfway done with it at this point. How many worlds are there? Are there six or eight?
I don't know off the top of my head. I want to say there's at least one for each of the little like swirly cloud piranha plants around Bowser's thing in like the middle of the map. And I want to say there's at least like five or six of those. And there might be like some additional like other areas you can go to.
Well, you keep going back to the middle area at, like in between those.
I did find like an area where there was like a hard level to complete. And I found... There was like a shop there where you could buy standees for like a specific character as opposed to just like the random role that you get when you buy one at the other shops. And so I bought out all the Luigi and Mario ones. So I have all of those, but I haven't bought the rest of them yet. But I've been enjoying that game. Have you gone? So what's the last world you went to?
I think it was the first one where you get the drill, which is, I forget the theme of that one.
Cause I think I just completed the one where you kind of go underground in this like volcano type of setting. And so there's like lava and stuff there. I think I just completed that one maybe.
I think that's the next one I have. I want to say I might actually be in an ice one maybe. No, ice one was the first one.
I think that's the
second one. I don't remember. It's been a while because I have mostly just been playing Apex Legends.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, we're going to talk more about that. Like people that are relatively new to the whole Apex situation, so don't expect some sort of like pro Apex discussion or whatever. But
yeah, I played it just as a little history before we talk about it later on in the show. I remember I sent you a text because I think we were still doing, we had begun the podcast when it started. I sent you a text that was like a Reddit thread that was like, this just in, like EA is like shadow dropping a new game called Apex Legends, and it's a battle royale and it's going to have like heroes in it called Legends. And you were like, what? And then the next day it came out and I think we all hopped on together and checked it out. And I maybe dropped in and out of it every once in a while, but I don't think I've played since like season maybe 3 or 4, and we're on season 19 now. So
yeah, I was gonna say I think I probably first played it on PC back then.
Yeah, me too.
And then come to realize
it was crazy. It was a crazy move to do to just like out of nowhere launch it one day. There wasn't a trailer for it; it just was available.
Yeah, it was definitely a shadow drop where it was like, hey, here's the, like, battle royales are a big deal. And everybody was thinking, you know, we might get, like, more, like, Star Wars games from them or, like, Titanfall or whatever the hot thing was at the time. And they were like, no, here's this, like, somewhat cartoony looking free to play battle royale that's, like, kind of a blend of, like, Fortnite meets Overwatch, and I remember that being such a big deal. But no, yeah, I'm pretty sure I first played it on PC, and I must have played it a little bit on PlayStation at one point because I am away from home at the moment, but I did take my PS5 with me. I'm dog sitting for my sister, but I brought my PS5 because I thought I was going to maybe put a little bit of time into that new Star Ocean Second Story R, which I just got.
And oh, yeah.
I don't really have a lot of impressions on that because I haven't had a chance to play very much of it. But in the meantime, I did also download Apex Legends onto PS5 to give it a shot there so we could kind of test out like the Discord stuff, which does work. It works a little bit differently than Xbox, and maybe we can get into that more later too. But evidently my character was already like level 11 and I had some unlocks. So I at one point I did play it on PlayStation, but I don't remember doing that. And so
interesting.
We're really curious when the cross progression is going to land for us and like what that's going to look like. Cause that's a thing for this season.
Yeah. You can fully do it across. And I've heard conflicting reports of how it's going to work. Like the thing I heard initially was you get a pop-up and then it asks you what you want your primary account to be. And I don't really understand what that means. Cause I thought it would just be blending everything together.
Yeah.
But supposedly when you pick your primary account, everything just pours into that one. But again, it should just be one like platform agnostic account. So I don't really know what's happening. And I don't know if it has started to roll out to people or what the deal is, but you and I have not gotten that update yet.
Supposedly it has like started rolling out and some people have gotten it, but I don't know how many. My big question is like, how are they handling it? Cause like if I have unlocks on PC and PlayStation and Xbox, especially if, like, say I had bought stuff on maybe at least one or two of those different platforms. I haven't, but if that had been the case, and then, like, you have all your stats and everything, are they just, like, reading all of that account data and, like, pooling it together somehow? Or is this just, like, you pick just the primary one, the one that you want to be yours, and you probably want to pick the one that you have the most time on, and then just that becomes your default account and the others just kind of get wiped. I'm worried that that's how it's going to be handled. I would rather be the other way.
As we're saying it out loud right now, it's maybe making a little more sense to me, because what didn't factor in for me and maybe for you is my like gamer tag is everywhere. It's the same thing. And so maybe the thing that's combining is what do you want your name to be in Apex, as opposed to like what platform do you want to be on. For me, that doesn't really matter because I am the same name everywhere. But for other people, if they have like a different name on Xbox or PlayStation, they want all their purchases, but they're only gonna be able to pick one account, basically, maybe is how it works.
I mean, I would hope they would be able to pool all that stuff together for those people. Like we haven't played enough to really like be upset if we lose some progress based on like, oh, they discarded my PlayStation and PC accounts in favor of my Xbox one, because that's the one I'm playing it on most now. Like that, it's not going to impact me in a huge way, but there are a lot of people that I assume over the years have spent a good amount of time on like probably multiple platforms, and they probably would love to have all of that combined. I guess I don't remember what happened with Overwatch. Like, I know it's a different game, different company, but like when I first started playing Overwatch, that was on PlayStation 4. And then I moved over to PC and have played a ton on PC. But I think all of that is now like unified under one account. And so I don't remember how that happened. Like, did my original unlocks from when I was playing on PS4 and the stats from that time, did that get pooled in with my PC stuff? I don't know.
Good question. We will report back when it does happen to us. And we do have, I added a new section in today's show notes specifically about Apex. So we'll be talking about that later on. But probably the biggest thing that happened this week is unfortunately something we don't super care about. It is BlizzCon happened.
Yeah, so the big news for us, I guess, is that there's an expansion called Vessel of Hatred coming to Diablo 4 that's going to bring like a new class. And then the Overwatch 2, the next hero, has been announced. And it's their first Samoan hero, and he like carries around these two...
How do you pronounce his name?
Good question. I have not... I didn't watch the video of
it. I didn't either. Is it Malga?
Something like that.
Malga? I think it's like Smaug, the dragon from Lord of the Rings. I think it's Malga.
That could be. Either way, he carries two chain guns, one in each hand, and one of them's like an incendiary chain gun, and the other's a volatile chain gun, whatever that means. And he has this ability.
I think it was he sets you on fire with one of them, and then when you're on fire, the second one can do will do like critical hits if you're on fire.
Yeah, and you can control them individually, I guess. Maybe one is like your left click, and the other is your right click.
Probably,
And then, yeah, he has a move called Overrun, where he basically charges at people and, I guess, does damage. But his ult kind of, I think it was his ult in the video that I saw, he, like, throws down this sort of barrier, this, like, blue barrier, and, like, enemies in the area get, like, chained so they can't run away, and he basically can shoot them all.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, that's if that's his ult, that seems pretty interesting. He's an assault class character, so
he's big too. He's a really big guy.
Yeah, he's huge. He kind of looks like at first glance you'd be like, oh, so this is a new tank character, but no, this is an assault character. But and then there was some expansions for World of Warcraft and a new expansion for Hearthstone, which I was a little bit surprised is even still like being supported, because I feel like that game has like come and gone, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I at one point was into Hearthstone, but the thing about it is like eventually you have to spend money on it, and I'm not about that. I don't want to spend a ton of money on a card game where it should just be, I mean, I would pay like maybe $10 a season or something to get the new cards or some sort of subscription, but the fact that it's blind packs is just like a real turnoff for me. I mean, there's like laws in Europe where that can't happen because what do they call it? Not blind packs.
Loot boxes.
Loot boxes, basically. But yeah, I like the idea of, and I had a really fun plane ride once where I played Hearthstone just like on an iPad. And I was like, this is great. This is a great little game that is like something I can do on my own. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's such a money sink.
I'm the same way where like when I played it, I mostly played like sort of the introductory stuff where you were against like a you know CP player instead of like an actual other person, and like I get a little bit intimidated by that aspect of it because it's like either you're going to like be winning and the other person's going to drop out, or they're going to destroy you and you just have to suffer through it for however long the match ends up lasting. Yeah. And so I am more likely to want to play this thing solo. And that's not really the point of the game. So that's where I kind of fall out of interest with it. But
did you, I can't remember if you played Diablo 4.
I played the beta a lot earlier this year. And I have played maybe a little bit of the main game, but not super far just yet. Yeah. It did come to Steam, so it's like deck compatible, just like right out of the box, which is nice. But I haven't played a ton of it yet, so I can't speak to like how badly needed the first expansion is. I'm sure the Diablo players would say it is, but supposedly the last update that they did like fixed a lot of the problems people had with it. I'm sure it's kind of like Destiny where there's always something to complain about and nobody's ever happy with it. But, you know, such is the life of a game like that. But
well, that kind of segues into our next news segment if we're all wrapped on BlizzCon.
Yeah, I don't have anything more to say about it.
Bungie announced some layoffs. I think they laid off like 100 people or something. And supposedly their next Destiny expansion, which is called The Final Shape, which is supposed to wrap up the entire first Destiny storyline, and also Marathon, are both delayed. And people are pretty bummed about it. And Bungie put out a statement, I guess related to the layoffs. I'm not sure. I guess it was the layoffs. All right, I think also the last expansion was kind of lukewarmly received, but they were basically like, hey, like we know that we are bad and we're sorry about it, so maybe we'll not be bad anymore. But this doesn't really affect us. We're sort of out of the Destiny ecosystem, but I am somewhat anticipating Marathon, and so that is a little bit of a bummer to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I still a little bit every once in a great while will check back in just to see what's going on and, like, what the community is, like, having to say about Destiny, even if I'm not, like, actively playing it. And, yeah, the last expansion, which seemed kind of cool, just, like, from videos I saw, was not super warmly received, but... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like also within the last couple of years, a lot of the like YouTubers and streamers and podcasters that like sort of came out of nowhere to like rally around Destiny as like their main source of like, you know, content. A lot of those people have like left the space, the content creator space altogether, or have like, you know, moved into different things. And it just seems like the community around it, and also just like the game itself, it seems to be like sort of sputtering to a little bit of a stop, or we're getting to a point where I think people are about ready to, for the train to stop and to move on to Marathon and something else, which I honestly guess would impact their company as far as layoffs go, but
it would. And I almost think like that's the move. Like if the Final Shape is wrapping up this supposed story they've been thinking about for 10 years or whatever, which they've been clear, pretty like transparent on, they like did not have a solution or they're kind of just making stuff up as they went along, which kind of soured me on it a lot. But
that's basically how Hollywood these days too. They're just like, exactly, we don't have a plan, and then at the end we're gonna try to make it seem like we did, and we'll try to tie everything together, and it usually is a little bit of a mess. I feel like that's sort of the destiny for this franchise.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they could wrap it up, and obviously they would. That would like, yeah, that would lead to layoffs because people would stop making Destiny games. But they could do the BlizzCon, the Blizzard type of thing where they wrap Destiny and then they go back to Destiny 1 and they're like, there's Destiny 1 Classic. Like they had WoW Classic. I would check that out. But yeah, I think it's just like they have to balance so many things. They keep building up and they keep having to build on the lore. And I feel like they're not super great at that. And also they have to build on like the weapon metas they've created and whatnot. And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like they can wrap it up and be mostly proud of what they've done as far as like making a 10-year experience, as opposed to continuing onward to who knows what. But yeah. I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, I think I'm pro them dropping it all and just focusing on whatever Marathon is going to be. But I know some people still play Destiny, I don't know. To each their own.
Yeah, at times it's definitely felt kind of rudderless, like they didn't really have a clear direction for where things were going. And they've definitely, like, we always talk about the cycle of Destiny when it comes to, like, our personal interest and investment in Destiny. But I think that it holds true also for just, like, content releases. Like, sometimes you're on, like, an upswing where they have, like, a really good DLC that, like, everybody's super into. Or, like, there's some, like, really cool seasonal stuff happening, and, like, the PvP meta's in a pretty good place. And then they have, like, the downswings where, like, the latest release is kind of not very good, and the season's sort of lame. Yeah. And people don't really feel like they have a lot to chase as far as, like, unlocks and gear and stuff like that goes. So it's very difficult to maintain something like this. I almost a little bit think that Destiny 2 will maybe be among the last of this type of experience, because so many other companies have tried and failed to launch their own version of Destiny in the time that Destiny has gone on, you know? Yeah. And so it's proven to be not a very sustainable business model for a lot of people. And Destiny has sort of been the one exception to that. And now that it's also sort of sputtering to a bit of a anticlimactic halt, it almost feels like maybe this could be the end of this sort of era of this type of game in the games industry. But like you said, it's very possible that they also try to just like give it some time where it's like, all right, we need to give it a rest and let people kind of get away from it until they start feeling nostalgic for it, and then we'll bring it back in some sort of way. Mm. And I feel like that is a likely path forward for Bungie in particular. But
we'll have to see. Something that people are hot on, though, as opposed to Destiny 2, which is pretty cold these days, is the finals beta that happened. I feel like maybe this is just my algorithm on TikTok, but over this week when the finals beta was happening, I got a ton of videos of people playing the finals and being like, this is crazy good. And like the footage that comes out of it does look super, super fun. It's a 3v3v3. There's three teams. And as far as I understand it, there's one objective. And I actually am unclear on if every team is going for that one objective or if it's one team is protecting it or only one team is maybe going for it. Actually, I'm not sure what the thing is, but it's just got such a cool style. Like when you kill people, they burst into coins, which is a cool effect. And it's just like the gunplay looks super tight and there's like classes and the like cosmetics look super cool. Everything about it just seems like to really, it's clicking for everybody. It's the most wishlisted game on Steam right now. And for a while, it had the most concurrent players on Steam over the whenever the beta was happening. But did you check this out at all? It looks really cool. But my one criticism of it, like we've been playing Apex Legends, which like puts you on a team of three by default. And this as well, you have to be on a team of three by default. But I feel like this is one where you have to be talking to your teammates to have fun, as opposed to Apex Legends, where, you know, you can just ping stuff and you're all sort of working towards the same goal, which is just to stay alive. There is a complex goal where you need to be talking about it and strategizing. So I don't know if you could have fun with this as just a solo player. What are your thoughts on the finals?
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping up on this. The only thing I really heard about it was the discussion that the Min-Max people had on it, and they seem very hot on it. But that's also coming from people who are like really into Rainbow Six Siege, which very similarly was a game where like you kind of need to be playing with people you know and communicating with them as you go, and which is one of the reasons why I never got into that. Also, that game is like really tactical, and I don't know how into like super tactical shooters I am, but this is interesting. I will definitely like keep an eye on it, especially once it comes out, and see kind of what it looks like. And it might be one of those games where sort of like Apex Legends, it'll come out and we'll try it and talk about it, and it'll be like a fun novel sort of like time when, you know, it first comes out. And but I don't know if it'll stick with me very long. I don't know if it'll stick in the zeitgeist very long, but you never can tell. Like, I wouldn't have thought Fortnite would have the legs that it had, but somehow that worked out, so we'll see.
Another thing, I actually don't know if this is out this week or if people are just getting early access to it. Modern Warfare 3 came out, and people seem to be pretty cold on a lot. Like, people like the zombies, because the zombies are like a new, interesting thing. I think previously zombies was level-based, but it's now open world and new and interesting, and people, I think, are into that. But the article that I have linked in the show notes is titled, it's from PC Gamer, and it's titled, Worst Fear Confirmed, : You can't launch Modern Warfare 3 without first launching Modern Warfare 2, which is a problem we ran into when we tried to play Warzone a couple weeks ago. Is
it's, we couldn't figure needlessly out what to download confusing or launch.
Exactly. It's all bundled into one insane launcher that has everything for some reason that you have to download. That's another thing people are not into, is the download for Modern Warfare 3 is like 213 gigabytes, which is kind of insane.
Now, what I think they are trying to do, what they want to do, and is incredibly not clear right now because they're in a little bit of like a transition period and they've sort of bungled the timing of this for Modern Warfare 3. But like years ago, Battlefield did this thing where they were like, we're going to just have like basically one launcher, or you can launch a game. And then within that, there's going to be like, you can access the other games, like the previous games in Battlefield that you own. And so if you want to, if you're sitting in Battlefield 4, but you're like, I want to launch Battlefield Bad Company 2 or whatever, there was like a way to do that. So you basically had everything under one umbrella. And I think that's what they want to do here, but instead it just looks like you have to get Modern Warfare 2 to play Modern Warfare 3, which makes Modern Warfare 3 seem like a very expensive DLC for Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. And that's where people are being rubbed the wrong way with this, because it seems like just a $70 DLC for Modern Warfare 2.
Which people have also said they have wished that the campaign was DLC, like you could buy it separately. I have also linked to an article from Kotaku. Modern Warfare 3's campaign mostly sucks is what it's titled. And apparently you can beat it in under 3 hours, or like under 4 hours. And a lot of people have been like, could I just pay $15 for this if I want it? Like, this doesn't have to be included.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's apparently the reason for the bloated... one of the reasons for the bloated install size is that zombies, that open world, because it's a whole new map. In addition to, I guess, the Warzone map and this campaign, because again, it's all or nothing. You have to buy everything for like $70 because it's a next gen game or whatever. You can't just buy. And if you want to play Warzone, I think it's the similar thing we ran into where you have to download everything just to play Warzone 3, which I think is out right now. I guess I'm not sure. But yeah, it's kind of weird. The campaign is, people aren't really liking the campaign. They wish they didn't have to buy it. And it's like taking up a ton of space on people's computers. So
I think we're to a point,
I don't know, man,
where Call of Duty basically needs to do what most MMOs do, where it's like you have the MMO on your computer and if you want to play the latest expansion, you can buy that for like $20 or $30 or whatever it costs.
Yeah.
But if not, you just keep playing whatever you already own. And then maybe we'll have these additional things that you can get and you can buy them sort of piecemeal. And that's what Call of Duty needs to do. They've needed to do this for years. Actually, when I was into Call of Duty, like in like what, 2007 to 2010, sort of that era, even then, people were saying you need to separate the campaign and the multiplayer and let people just buy one or both.
Yeah,
because a lot of the people that play Call of Duty play it specifically for the multiplayer and will never touch the single player. But they have to buy the whole package to be able to play it. And there's also a niche audience that does the opposite, where they really just want the single player and they don't really care that much about the multiplayer, and that should be available, you know, like it should be possible to be able to do that. But
and maybe with this acquisition they will do that now that Microsoft is in charge. Maybe that'll be, and also, I mean, maybe it'll all be free, so who cares? But
also, this is,
it does seem like a change needs to happen.
This is just rumor. I don't know if this is true or not, but this is something I heard, so take it with a grain of salt. But the zombie stuff is not normally included in like the Modern Warfare stuff. That's usually like the Treyarch made, like, isn't that Black Ops or whatever it is that they do? Am I wrong on that? I feel like those are like,
you don't
normally get Modern Warfare and a zombies like side thing. So they've done that in the past. I don't know. But from what I've heard, and again, this might not be true, is that the zombie stuff was actually being developed for the next Call of Duty, but they sort of rushed it to get it out with this one because they knew like their single player stuff was not very good and that the multiplayer kind of felt like a very expensive expansion to last year's.
Interesting.
So they sort of rushed this just to have something that felt new be in there.
Yeah.
And that's why it's maybe a little bit not what you would expect it to be. But again, I don't know if that's true, so take that with a grain of salt, but that's what some people are saying. So, but yeah, there's a lot of controversy around this one. People are actually saying, I know you love Call of Duty and you love playing it every year, but like, just don't buy this one because it's basically a very expensive expansion pack for last year's game or the last Call of Duty game.
I wanted to end out the news segment on two mod things that I found interesting. Firstly, there's been a Starfield mod that's been released that lets you build your own space stations, which I think is something that definitely should be in the game. But according to the modder, he did very little. He found the code already in the game and just sort of used that. So this is maybe just some stuff that will maybe come down the line in a DLC. So who knows how long this mod will be available. But I think it's pretty cool. Like, this is a great sort of expansion to... I was never really interested in making an outpost, but I did like to engage with the shipbuilding mechanics, which I feel like I don't know what sort of interface you would get for building a space station. I feel like it would be more similar to the shipbuilding interface than to the outpost building interface.
Yeah, probably.
But it's cool. I have not beaten Starfield yet because I have a little bit dipped. I've mostly been playing Apex and Mario Wonder, but I do know where I'm at, and I stopped at kind of a point where, and I don't know if this happened to you, I was playing, what's the stealth
the
quest line for that company?
Ryujin. What was it?
Yes, Ryujin. I think I'm on the final mission of that. And they were basically like, okay, here's what you got to do. You got to go to this place. You got to do these five things in this big building, and you can't ever be seen. And I was just like, ugh, I just want to kill everyone. and I'm going to get a bad review if I do that. And so I just like put it down for a second. But I am going to get back to it and eventually beat it. But I wonder if, I think we've already talked about this. I wonder if... the Game Awards will be the first place we'll see a DLC announcement for Starfield. Because I feel like they are so aware that Skyrim had this huge long tail. And a lot of that was because of, firstly, the DLCs and the modding community. So I wonder if we'll get the first DLC reveal at the Game Awards this year of just like, I don't even know what it would be. But if that happens, that would definitely get me to dive back in. I do want to beat it eventually. I just like have not worked up. I know that I have to do that Ryujin thing, and it's like kind of, it feels almost like work as opposed to fun, because I do just want to blast everybody. But would you build a space station?
Did you get one of those? There's a gun that is like electronic instead of like projectile based, and you just like charge it up and zap them, and they basically get knocked out but aren't killed. I relied on that heavily during the Ryujin quest line. And you can basically go ahead and don't worry about them spotting you and like everybody coming after you, as long as you and whoever your companion is are equipped with that and you just like knock them all out, you're fine. You don't have to worry about it at all.
In the first or second mission for Ryujin was a thing where you have to go to that hospital space station, and you go there and you have to get into a place, and to get into that place, you have to get a key. And I don't have the skill for pickpocketing. So
I never found the guy with the key. Needed it. I don't have that skill.
Oh,
either.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe there was a way to get around it. Maybe there was like a vent I could go in, but I found the guy with the key and I talked to him, but it wouldn't let me like, you know, socially talk to him. Yeah, he was just like, hey, are you supposed to be here? So I just like posted up in a corner, turned invisible with a spacesuit, and shot him once in the head with a silenced gun. He like fell over a banister, and I very quickly looted his corpse, and no alerts. Everything was totally fine. And I went back to the person at Ryujin, and they were like, well, you could have done this a lot better. There was a dead body there, so we're not going to give you all your money. And I was like, come on, man. Like, nobody saw me, but... Maybe I do need that gun that turns people asleep.
Wow, so I don't know if you can loot people when you've just put them to sleep for some reason. So I don't know if that would solve your problem. I don't remember that being an issue for me, but also maybe I just didn't care that they didn't give me the full amount of money. Because money is like never an issue in that game, but...
True. Yeah, eventually you just have, like, you know, $500,000 all the time.
Yeah. Well, so either way, I am interested in building a space station, because one of my favorite aspects of No Man's Sky currently is the freighters, which is basically like a giant moving outpost that you can build. And so if you could make something like that in Starfield, that would be very fun to me. I prefer that, much like you, I prefer that to trying to build an outpost on like a planet somewhere, even though that's how you could quickly gather a lot of resources. But one of the things that bothered me about Starfield is that there's no way while you're in space to just like get up from the seat and like walk around your ship while you're in space. You basically have to land somewhere to be able to do that. And I would assume that if you had a space station, you could do that.
I think it is going to come officially at some point, because this is, I think, similar. Do you remember that controversy from, I don't remember if it was Mass, I think it was Mass Effect 3, where people looked in the game files and they found that Prothean companion, and they were like, hey, this is already in here. You're just trying to, like, make us pay for this later on with DLC, but you already coded it in here. I think it's similar to that, in that they built the space station stuff into the code, and it's just like it wasn't ready for prime time. They just left it there because later on they'll have enough time to finish it. So I think eventually there will be an official way to do this. So this mod probably, I mean, make a backup of your save if you want to do this, because it might, I don't know what the process is for uninstalling a mod when something official comes out, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I do feel like it's one of those things that they were probably trying to make happen before, like, for the official launch, and they just, like, ran out of time or whatever, or it wasn't ready yet. Mm. And so if the game files are already in there, they're probably just going to finish it up and be like, hey, you can now do this, which would be cool. And I am, like, somewhere towards the end of the second, or my first New Game Plus, so I'm, like, right at the point where if they're like, here's new content, where I will just, like, jump into a new universe and be like, all right, time to go. Mm. So I'm like, I'm
time for a fresh one.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just kind of sitting there waiting for them to, like, drop some new stuff. But
which I do think is the most elegant way to, because every time a DLC comes out, I'm always like, well, what point in the game do I have to be at? Like, do I have to start a new game, or can I do this in my existing game where I'm just, like, somewhere randomly in the story?
Yeah.
Where with this, if you just, like, do New Game Plus, you're good to go. Like, you could just do a reset and you can do whatever the DLC is. So who knows? My other PC port thing, or it's another mod. Somebody released a port, and who knows how long this will stay up for, of Perfect Dark, which is a game that is near and dear to my heart. I played way more Perfect Dark than I did GoldenEye back in the day. I loved how every weapon had, like, a secondary fire thing. But this has, like, full mouse and keyboard support. You can play the multiplayer. It looks super cool. Did you ever play Perfect Dark back in the day?
I never owned it, but one of my friends had it, and I played it a bunch with him. But I was more of a GoldenEye person.
I loved all the weapons in this. There was an insane amount of weapons. There was like 25 weapons or something, and they all had secondary fire options, which were very cool. But my friends and I would play this all the time, and, you know, who knows what the status of that new Perfect Dark is that they announced like 5 years ago. But if this stays up for a good amount of time, it seems cool. There's been a lot of GoldenEye, like, ports to PC where they've added mouse and keyboard support that have been well received. But this one, I don't know if it's, I think it's just the multiplayer, maybe. It's a work in progress, and it's, I mean, they didn't up the resolution or anything. It's still like 360 graphics, but it's cool. I have a lot of nostalgia for Perfect Dark. There was a little hovercraft you could get. I used to go around and do the, there were like weapon challenges you could do. I had a lot of fun with Perfect Dark.
I remember it being possible to play like multiplayer against bots, and so me and my friend would just like see how long we could survive against a bunch of bots, and we would like throw out those laptop guns to help.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That was always a
fun
time.
You can dual wield most guns too.
Yeah.
It was great. But that's the news. That's the general news.
I do feel like, so we got GoldenEye to come, to return. I feel like we're just, you know, a certain amount of time away from them eventually bringing back Perfect Dark in a similar way.
Did you see, I didn't put this in the show notes, but I saw there was an article about whatever that new James Bond game is going to be. And I think it's maybe being made by the people who make Hitman.
Yeah,
and so it's going to be third person. Yeah, I think we knew that already, but they said it's going to veer more towards the Daniel Craig style of stories as opposed to like the Pierce Brosnan or Roger Moore. And it's going to be like heavily spycraft. It's going to be like very intense and M-rated. And so I don't know when that's coming. But
do they go with one of the licensed Bonds or do they create their own?
That's a great question. I'm not sure about. I actually don't know. That's a very interesting question. I did not think about. I wonder what they will do, if they will set it in. Because if it's modern, you sort of have to go with Daniel Craig. Because I don't know that they've picked another one. And if it's a classical one set in like the 60s, then you have your free. You can be like, you know, not Pierce Brosnan, but Roger Moore or
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery or someone like that. So
they did that once.
I don't even know what era it's set in.
They did a like From Russia with Love starring Sean Connery or whatever on like the 360, I think. I do remember that game. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm not sure what they would do because we're weirdly like between bombs. They have not selected a new one, but Daniel Craig's era is over. And so, yeah, I don't know what they pick for that, unless they just make their own.
I was going to say, they can make their own. We're at the point now with like motion capture and stuff where, I mean, there are those the Jedi Survivor with Cal Kestis, like that actor is that character because they look one-to-one. So,
well, they could so here's a question.
Find their James Bond.
If they, in reality, what's likely to happen is that they're going to select a James Bond, and then that person will just get ported into the game basically before they release it. Or it'll just be a weird thing where the game is like a franchise that they have made multiple games in starring this person who is not the current Bond, which would be weird, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know which one is more likely at this point. I mean, MGM, or I don't know who owns Bond now, because MGM went out of business or like went bankrupt, didn't it? That's why there was like that long delay in James Bond movies. So I mean, if they don't get their act together and pick a Bond, I mean, this game is in development, so I mean, who knows what the character model looks like right now. Maybe it's just a gray face, like faceless.
Yeah, it's a
or maybe they picked, maybe there is a, I mean, everyone always said that Idris Elba would make a great James Bond, and he did a great job, supposedly, in Cyberpunk. So I think that would be a great pick for us, like a video game James Bond. He's got like such a great voice.
Yeah.
And he looks great as a video game character. We've seen that in Cyberpunk. So
yeah, I do like Idris Elba, and it would be an interesting choice to have him be the next Bond. So I wouldn't be opposed to that. But yeah, they're going to have to pick somebody, because I assume they want to keep making the movies too. I mean, maybe they'll give it a while before the next one, but like, I would imagine that they're in talks with the like owners or rights holders of Bond, and
they have
that's probably all in coordination. So,
Zach, let's talk about Apex.
Okay. Let's get into
Apex news. Season 19 launched. Season 19 is called Ignite. It's the first one we're really checking out. Technically, we played the tail end of season 18, which is maybe called Revenge or Rebirth or something. I actually don't remember what it was called. But this one is all about, or at least this first part is about Conduit, who is the new legend, and she can give people temporary shields and throw down like a barrier, kind of. And she can run super fast when she's far away from her teammates. And the new map right now is Storm Point. It's an island. And there's also in rotation is Broken Moon. And I think that floating city one that I don't remember the name of. But I bought the Battle Pass. And I also purchased a legend. I purchased Loba, who I think I called Lobo last episode, but I meant to say Loba. But I love her, and she's great, and her utility is wonderful, and I like her movement ability. It always feels great to throw down the black market and help everybody out. I get a constant, like, I'll throw it down and people will collect stuff, and then I think they get the button prompt to thank me, so people are always thanking me in-game, which I like. But she's great. I like her voice lines. They're not annoying, as opposed to some other people who I wish were never on my team. But what are your impressions of, I guess, the new map and the new weapon changes? Because the other thing that happened is they took the 30-30 out of the crafter, so people have more access to the 30-30. And they put the wingman into the care packages, and now it's like a souped-up wingman that people are super into. But how have you been like? We haven't played together yet. We probably will today.
Yeah, I played a little bit last night on PS5, which normally I've been playing on Xbox. And we haven't gotten a chance to play together. I feel like maybe because it was my like first match on PS5, they gave me like an easy team to play against, and so that's how I ended up winning, because I had like experienced teammates and we were up against either bots or like new people. So I did get a win last night on like the first match I played. I don't know if that counts. I guess it does, but
yeah, it counts.
But yeah, I don't know. I do want to buy the season pass, because I think we will be returning to it and playing a lot of it this season. Yeah. And I kind of want to get another legend. I have taken your advice a little bit of like trying out the different characters, because I've been sticking to Bloodhound so much, but just because his ability is so useful. But like, I don't know. I played a match of, I think it was just like team deathmatch as Gibraltar, however you say his name. And it was actually
people
really fun.
In the community, I guess, call him Gibby.
Yeah. And it was really fun. Like, I had a great time with that character, so I will probably play more of that character. But there are so many other legends to get. Now, we were talking before we started recording about how crazy it is that they're like somewhere between like $5 and $10. So you basically have to spend $10 if you want to get a new legend. Even though it doesn't cost you exactly $10. But there's no like, let me just pay $50-$60 to own Apex Legends, and then I just have all the characters. You know what I mean? It probably costs you a lot more if you want to own all the legends.
Yeah.
And of course the season pass stuff, but there's, I guess, a way to get like the currency you need just from like playing, owning the season pass and playing it a bunch, and you can unlock them that way. But there are so many right now that if you're like us and you're just getting back into it, you have a really long way to go to start getting a lot of those characters.
But, well, some of them I probably will never unlock, like Ashe, unless they get some sort of rework. I don't really like her abilities. I mean, she looks very cool and a lot of her skins are awesome. But I don't know. I just feel like the ability, I basically have that ability with Loba, where instead of like making a slash with my sword and doing a one-way portal, I mean, people can't follow me is, I guess, something. But I mean, I can go long distances, but there's a couple. And also, I mean, Vantage as well is another one where I'm like, this is a cool ability. And like, you have this sniper rifle, but I don't think, I'm not like super good at sniping. So I probably would never buy Vantage unless she gets a rework.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There's probably a bunch of legends that I would probably never play, even if I had them unlocked. So there's not much point in worrying about whether I have those unlocked or not. But I'm in a weird place right now where I don't want to buy anything because the cross progression hasn't happened yet. And I don't know how they're handling it. So I like, if I, I'm like, well, I'm away for a weekend, but I'm playing it on PS5 instead of Xbox. Most of my unlocks, because most of my time has been spent on Xbox recently. Is it a waste of money to buy a character or the season pass on PlayStation and then to go home and return to playing on my Xbox and hope that the progression or the cross progression like sort of figures it all out and puts it together for me? But I kind of don't know if that'll be the case. So I'm in a weird holding pattern.
I think hopefully that'll roll out to us. So there's three maps in rotation right now in this season. Broken Moon, which I had never played before, and Storm Point or Storm Front, whatever it's called, and then that Floating City one. Have you played any of that Broken Moon one? It's the one with all of the crazy rails that you can rail on.
I don't think so. When I was playing last night, I only played like two or three of the Battle Royale mode matches, and then I switched over to that rotating playlist of like Team Deathmatch and stuff. So yeah. I think I only played on one map the entire time, and it was not that one.
Stormfront is pretty cool, but Broken Moon is very interesting to me because the whole, like all of the map basically is connected via like basically a monorail system that you can hop on and zip line on. So like normally zip lines just get you from point A to point B, but Broken Moon has like zip lines that are basically big circles. So you can basically ride them all around the map, which is very interesting. There's that other map that I don't remember the name of that has that train that I think is a similar where it kind of like is going around, but you're kind of subject to when that train stops. But I like it. All of the new changes I'm super into. I'm still liking it a lot. Other things to talk about next week, starting on the 7th, as we're recording this, the Post Malone event will be happening. So Post Malone apparently loves Apex Legends. He's been a proponent of the game. He loves to play it. And I guess he's an Octane main. But two interesting things about this event. You will get to unlock skins based on, I guess, clothes that Post Malone has worn. That's not super interesting to me. But what is interesting to me is they are coming out with this Three Strikes mode during this time. And Three Strikes mode is interesting because when you drop in, and it's, I think, like a normal game, except for if your team gets wiped, you come back. And you can come back three times because you get, you know, three strikes, you're out. And when you get knocked, you don't bleed out. And also, you revive super quick. So if you get knocked, someone can just run over to you. You can hide and just, like, hide infinitely, basically. And then your teammate can run over to you and, like, res you in, like, half a second or, like, not even that. And so I think it's going to make for longer matches because, if your team gets wiped, you just jump back in two more times. So it seems it's a really interesting game mode that I'm curious to see if it feels too long or if it feels like cool. What do you think about that?
It seems like it maybe solves some of my problems with the Battle Royale, where like I'm a big proponent of like the other playlist because if I die, I don't have to start over again, you know, like I can just like respawn and I get another shot at it. And that's one of the reasons why I usually will like run out of steam with a Battle Royale. Cause it's a lot of like starting and stopping and restarting and it's not a lot of action. And so just being able to get a second and third shot at it is, something appealing to me because it would, it's exactly the problem I've had with Battle Royales in the past. So this is very interesting to me.
Other things, we got a leak. So now that the game is out, like when I first loaded up, I was excited to play on Tuesday when Ignite came out, but it did have to download like a 33 gig update, which I didn't realize. I think I have my Xbox set up wrong where it should be updating automatically, but for whatever reason, it only starts the update when I like turn it on or whatever.
Well, I think it's possible to have your Xbox just like completely shut off or have it go into rest mode and it like warns you about like what the different power drains are like. And so I, for a long time, had it just set to automatically shut off and do like the really, really low power mode. And I think that maybe prevents it from actually downloading stuff in the background.
Maybe I'll change that. But because of that data that it downloaded, there has been a data mine of upcoming things we can expect. And I think I sent you a very brief YouTube video of there's going to be, and again, we're not Apex like experts. We haven't played in a good long time, but apparently in Apex, there is a thing called a collection event. And in a collection event, you are working towards a goal if you collect a bunch of things, you get like a mythic skin. And the mythic skin this year just so happens to be my new favorite character, Loba. And you can become a like a little werewolf, like a robotic werewolf, basically. There's a bunch of cool looking skins in this collection event that's going to come up supposedly maybe around December, in the beginning of December. There's like a Pathfinder, or not a Pathfinder, a Bloodhound skin that looks super cool. But that's coming up. Also, speculation is, so when people kind of get tired of a legend, or when a legend is not really working, they will do something called, like, that legend's name reborn. The last thing, one that happened was Revenant. Revenant originally had, I think, a much different alt and, like, a different passive, but they did Revenant Reborn, and now he is a lot more usable, and people are liking him a lot more. And people speculated that the next reborn character is going to be Lifeline, because she's still really solid, but she hasn't really changed a lot, and people aren't as into her care packages these days, even though I think it is like a super useful thing to have. Yeah. But supposedly, Lifeline Reborn, her tactical, where she throws out her healing drone, will be pretty much the same, except for it'll follow you as you run around. Like, it'll attach to you, which I think would be really cool. And then her ultimate would be some sort of thing where the healing drone pushes people away from you, as opposed to what I read is like it's a reverse one of the Horizon. Horizon has that one where it'll suck you in. It's like a gravity well. This is like the reverse of that. So she wouldn't have care packages anymore, which I don't know how I would feel about that, but that's interesting to me. And then also there was a data mine that the next legend is codenamed Cave, whatever that could mean. But yeah, a lot of interesting stuff happening with Apex. I'm excited to play more. I'm liking this new season, and I haven't hit a wall yet where I'm tired of playing it. I constantly am thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it as well. And I think like once I get more into it and I'm able to like get the season pass going and like the cross progression happens and we find out what all that is going to do and whether it's the good kind of cross progression or if it's the one where it like cuts off the other platforms and just is like, no, you're now focused on this one. But I am, I'm ready to play more of it. I gotta say, I'm looking forward to us getting a chance to play more of it this weekend. So,
but that is really all. I mean, I've been playing that and watching. I think I talked about it last episode. Watching a bunch of classic Iron Chef on YouTube. So that's what I've been playing and watching. You seem to be played a lot more things though.
No, I mean, I've played a little bit of Star Ocean Second Story R. So like to tell a brief story, we were checking out the Discord support from like PS5 to Xbox Series X when you were playing Apex and we're on the Discord call. And so I started playing Star Ocean Second Story R because it was taking like hours long to download that big 33 gig like texture pack or whatever it was for Apex, which we should say looks great, by the way. The lighting and textures on Apex look so much better than they did before that it's definitely worth like downloading that and trying it out again just to see how much it's improved. But so I was waiting for that to download, so I just started playing Star Ocean while we were on the Discord call, which, by the way, I think I maybe prefer the way it's implemented on Xbox, because you just like hit the Xbox button and it pops up that little menu and you can just like tab over and that's where like Discord lives. And so you can just like from the console itself be like, I'm ready to log in and join this voice channel and start talking. Whereas on PlayStation, there's not really a way to like manually join. You have to go on your phone and like join the voice channel, but like select the option to join via PlayStation. And so you hit that button and then it automatically connects you on your PlayStation. And once that happens, then you have a little thing where you bring up the little menu and you can sort of like mess with the volumes and that kind of thing with the Discord call, but you can't like join it directly from the console. So I prefer the way they've done it on Xbox, but it's cool to be able to do that, you know, across platform like that. So
yeah,
that's how we're going to be doing it this weekend, because I'm out of town. But Yeah, I thought that was cool. So really, I only played a little bit of Star Ocean while we were doing that call, and it wasn't enough to really get much of an impression. Although I like it lets you carry on from your progress in the demo, so you can carry that save file forward into the full game, and people are liking it. It's getting good reviews. It is a remake of like the second Star Ocean game from way back in the day, and it's one of those stories that I talked about it when we initially talked about this game, but it's that subgenre where a character from like modern times or even like future times is like thrown back into like a medieval fantasy world, basically. Mm. And I like that as a story subgenre, so I'm into this. I want to play more of it. It's fully voiced, but like, I don't know. I want to play more of it, but I'm so like, let's make progress in Apex right now that it's like hard to convince myself to go play it right now. And then I did add stuff to the games out this week because that Jusant game is on Game Pass and people seem to be liking that. I haven't played it.
People like it.
It seems kind of cool. And then WarioWare Move It came out. This is not a game for me, but that's out there. And then that RoboCop Rogue City also came out, which I was curious about, but I think it's not something I'm going to be able to play unless it did come to Game Pass. But and again, I'm just so caught up in Apex at the moment that playing a different shooter is probably not going to happen. And then I did want to highlight this weird random game that I found on Steam called Ebenezer and the Invisible World, which is a Metroidvania sort of set in the A Christmas Carol world, where I believe you play as Ebenezer post his sort of transformation to a good person, I believe, if I am remembering correctly from the description.
Interesting.
But yeah, if you like Metroidvanias and you want to play one that's like seasonally appropriate as we're getting closer to Christmas, it's like $20 on Steam, so worth checking out, I think.
Looks like it's on Switch too.
Is it on Switch? Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely something to look into if you like holiday themed games. I'm a little bit like, where are the Halloween games and the Christmas games? Because I always watch some movies like every year that are like, oh, these are my Halloween movies. These are my Christmas movies. And I don't know that I really have that with games, but maybe that's because I'm usually playing whatever's new. But if there was just like a fun game that was just like, oh yeah, let's return to this and play this again, you know, this time of year. Maybe Ebenezer and the Invisible World could be that type of game for the Christmas season. But and other than that, I did start watching that Ri's Derby in Japan series. I don't know if we talked about this previously, but it's on Amazon Prime, and it's just Ri's Derby. You know, I like a travel show, especially if they're traveling in Japan, because I like... I want to go to Japan and have not been able to, but James May also has one on Amazon Prime that's Our Man in Japan, where he like goes to Japan and goes around and shows off different places and different things there. And this one is just Ri's Derby's version of that. And I think they both make an effort to not just show like touristy, like typical expected stuff. They kind of try to show and experience things that you probably wouldn't take part in if you were to actually travel to Japan. But he like sort of gets into mascot culture, which is like, I guess, like a thing in Japan. People are super into mascots. Oh, yeah. And so he meets the most popular one and then eventually like makes his own mascot and tries to perform as a mascot. And he like learns about, since he's a comedian, he also learns about like, you know, doing comedy in Japan and sort of tries his hand at it. And there's other stuff as well that he does, obviously, but that's a show that is on Amazon Prime if you're into travel shows. So check that out. Any parting wisdom for this week?
Zach, actually, I can't remember if I said this last week, but check out Apex Legends.
Yeah, as we're getting back into Apex, our advice seemingly every week now is check out Apex Legends. It is free to play.
I'll have a new one next week.
And you don't
have to, free to play.
You don't have to sub to Xbox Live or PSN.
Available on every system. It's one game. It's not five games that you load into and then pick Warzone.
Yeah. You don't have to download game to be able to play it.
I forgot to talk about this, but who's that guy who is like has like sunglasses on and like a battle vest who's like a Twitch streamer?
Oh, you know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the like mullet wig.
Yeah, he's got like a mullet and a mustache.
Yeah, what is his name? He's like a big streamer.
I don't remember his name.
We're going to seem really streamer. Lame for not knowing his name.
But I saw a clip of him on TikTok that was him. It was when he was trying to launch Modern Warfare 3. And it was just like too confusing. And he was like going insane trying to launch it. And it was like bring him back to the same menu. And he would click like proceed. And then it would do another thing. And it would click proceed again. And then it would do this like music sting. And he was like losing his mind trying to like navigate these confusing menus. It was very funny to me.
I mean, that was basically us when we tried playing Warzone that one time. I mean, it makes me feel not as bad about like not being able to understand what was going on or how we were supposed to actually launch it. But like we had a very similar situation because we try even just downloading it and figuring out which thing to launch was confusing. But then once you got into the game, we tried to join a party together and then it wouldn't let me launch the game. It acted like I needed to buy it to be able to launch something. But like every time we would join together as a party, and be like, okay, you've now joined as a party. And so the only option I had was to hit the B button to exit out of the thing telling me, okay, you've now joined a party. But when I did that, it like dropped me out of the party and back to the main menu, basically. And so we had to rejoin the party again. And like you said, like a week or two ago when we talked about this, it felt like we had to hack the system where like I had to create the party and get you to join, but then like surrender the like party lead to you so that you could actually launch the mode because I couldn't even get to the part where you would launch the mode without it dropping me out of the party. It was insane trying to figure out like the simplest, most basic thing about that. And the menus were just so dense and impossible to like understand what you were even looking at. It's just
a ton of ads too, just like constant ads. It felt like a bad website.
Yeah, it was not a good experience trying to play Call of Duty. I suppose like people who've been doing it for a long time that like understand what they're looking at maybe don't know what we're talking about, but like if you're just coming back to Call of Duty after years away, you're not going to know what you're looking at. It's just insane. So, yeah, I would say that's a pretty bad experience. So maybe don't play that and instead play Apex. Again, you don't have to sub to Game Pass or Xbox Live or PSN to be able to play it. The way they charge you $70 for the latest Call of Duty, and then on top of that, they're like, oh, you also now have to pay $16 a month to subscribe to actually for the right to play this game that you bought on our network. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. So yeah,
thumbs down
Apex. And on that note, we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.